is Tyler Hiller, 31, Doodle.
And James Whitten, 40, Hooch.
And this is episode 3 of The Stuff Worth Sharing.
Hey, that almost sounded professional. We're getting there. Feet are underneath us. We are finding our pace, getting that stride, and
moving. We're not crawling.
Let's see. No, we are accelerating, sir. Oh, we are accelerating.
I like that.
So this week, coming to you with the news of F3 Boise across settlers in the high desert regions. What has happened? What's coming up? What milestones have guys hit? And then to round out the episode today, we're going to have our man Gasman coming in with a little interview with us, sharing the takeaways from the Idaho anti-human trafficking fundraiser and all the running and all the miles that we put in. So give him an opportunity to speak on that here at the end.
Absolutely. It's been 3 weeks since we last recorded. A lot has gone on, a lot coming up. We are hitting a really busy season here at F3, although I feel like every time we get through a massive event slog, in our COTs, we just turn around and we got another backlog of events to go ahead.
You just change the magazine out. It's yes. Just the next set just get racked in there.
Yeah, so before we're ready to hear this, let's talk about the 26th. The 26th is a day packed full of F3 greatness. Not only do we have our regularly scheduled beatdowns, yeah, 6 a.m., regular scheduled beatdown on Saturdays, we also have that followed. The book club is also scheduled for the Saturday, for those of you who are engaged in that. We also have, out at Tower, we have our 2.0 Halloween beatdown. They are looking for us to bring out some pumpkins to help support that. It's going to be a great time. My 2.0s are always asking me, Dad, when's the next time we go do F3 with you? It's awesome. And then that evening, we have another family-friendly event. We have got Canucks going to be going in the ring.
Maybe a little less family-friendly on that one.
Hey, the banner says family-friendly. So he's going to step in the ring, a Muay Thai fight. I believe that's down in downtown Boise, down, I believe, at SBG. There's a flyer out there. I believe it's in the second F page. Go ahead and check that out. And then the next weekend after that, we're going to be hosting the 3S2T assessment out at Tower. For those of you who have not done it yet, it is a treat. It is a lot of fun. We're out there trying to test to see how strong, how fast, and how tough you are. So if you haven't done that yet, or if you have and you want to see how you've progressed throughout the year, come out to Tower, and we're going to be knocking that out.
Because that's why we do that, right, Doodles? It's not just about how many push-ups you can do. It's about what is tracked can be improved. And if you're not tracking it, you don't know where you're at. You could be standing there running in place. So if you've never been out there, you've never seen what you can do and done that assessment with Doodle, come on out there. Find your numbers.
Absolutely.
So, so we've survived Friday at this point in the future, and we're moving on through the weekend and through this next month. So what else have we got coming up? This coming Sunday, I've actually got something on the books throughout a range day. So on Sunday at 1 o'clock out towards Swan Falls, going to get out there safe and sane fun with some firearms and some fellowship. And we're going to have a good time. So that's over in the second F channel. If you want to HC there, see what that's about. Coming up, settlers. We got a convergence in the region. So we're going to be headed out to Old Glory Saturday, November 9th. So put that on the books. You know, don't try to schedule anything else that morning. I'm not looking at anybody in particular.
I may have edited my original post in first F, 3S2T. It is on the 2nd, not on the 9th, the 2nd.
And then the following Saturday, 11/16, we have Beatdown on the Blue, 2.0s and families welcome. Following that, immediately there on the blue turf is going to be Huckleberry putting on, I guess, how many years annual Soul Kids run coming out of there. So I'm going to say this every time I bring it up. Everybody, if you own a football, bring a football. Because last year we came out and everybody thought, well, somebody's going to bring a football. And nobody brought a football. And we're on the blue without a football. And it was sad. So if you own a football, bring it out. And we're going to have a great time with the kids and the families.
That's you, Bellagio.
Ooh, got personal. And then Turkey Day this year, 11/28, so that Thursday. Those of you new to F3, a gentleman by the name of Gobbler out of the Seattle region every year puts out something called the Gobbler Challenge. And it's an opportunity, as he says, to earn your bird. So it's an Iron Pack style workout. It takes about an hour every year. They do some fundraising for a local charity that partners older men with at-risk male youth there in the Seattle area. Send them a couple bucks for that charity, and you get yourself a nice patch. So you just start collecting them, and it's a lot of fun.
You will earn your bird.
Yes, sir.
It's like they find a way to slam all IPC into one beat down.
Yeah.
The pain cave was deep last year.
So the only one I've ever missed was the first one, and they did a mile of bear crawls. That was the original Gobbler Challenge. Was a mile bear crawl. So if that sounds fun, or even if it doesn't, you're going to sign up anyway. So we'll see you there. Immediately to follow, and gosh, I don't have it in front of me. Where are we hosting this turkey bowl?
I got flat for that.
No, that's what I'm talking. I'll vamp for a second. Gentleman Bricks is organizing this, putting it together. We're going to have some turkey bowl football. And I'm working on Bricks to make sure that we get the gobbler in beforehand. Maybe make it mandatory or requisite that you participate in the gobbler before you get out there for some turkey bowl. But that is going to be happening. So make plans Thanksgiving morning appropriately. If you can get away and you can spend some time out in the early gloom with us before you go to have your turkey and watch your football, lots of options to engage with F3.
We are going to try and make this a settlers versus high desert. So get your HCs in there so we can get that. It looks like the pre-blast still saying TBD on the location. So stay tuned for where we're going to be for that.
I'm glad we panicked on that and we kept stretching it out to get that in there.
It's good radio, right?
Absolutely. This is a podcast.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. Well, let's talk about how busy this past couple weeks have been. First, I want to talk about the first tip channel has been alight with VQ notifications. We had 9 VQs in the past 3 weeks here. It's been absolutely stellar seeing gentlemen get out there and take the next step of leadership in F3. So start off, we have Plucker out at Goose, and I apologize, there's too many here. We're not going to have enough time to go in depth on each of your guys' VQs. Wish I could have been there for all of them. But we have Plucker out at Goose Dynasty, Duke Nukem out at Tower, Porky up in Emmett, Telemundo out at the Coop, Bedpan, another Goose Dynasty, Tarzan, the Capitals' first VQ.
Wait. VQ at an off-the-books AO. Are there no rules?
I think we throw the rules out the window.
That's anarchy out here in F3.
I mean, they're not even using coupons.
Freed to lead, sir. Free to lead.
Love it.
Very good.
Plow, guys, VQ out at Camelsback. HMS Pinafore.
Hey.
Out at the Bleach. And Long Time, another Goose Dynasty. So when you see those men, make sure you're EHing them. They'll go fill that cue sheet up. I'll tell you what, it's been hard to get a queue lately. I'm going to run the thing out 2-3 weeks, go find myself a queue.
Oh, damn Skippy.
It's a good feeling. I love seeing that queue sheet full. Really love, I think, Long Time since his VQ is already, at least I think he's put in at least 2 more queues after that. Duke Nukem has already another queue under his belt. So great work, gents, hitting that VQ, then going over and taking up another queue spot. Love to see you guys stepping up the lead out there.
The first of many, right? And so from first time leading to first time attending, I don't know if we have FNGs listening to this show. I'd be really impressed if we did. But when you see these guys, know that they're new to what we do here. So have mercy on them or, you know, goad them as needed. So we got Gigawatt, Caddyshack, Treble, do a barrel roll. Barrel roll. Matrix. Genie, Whirlybird,
oh man,
and Pooh Bear.
Oh, where's Pooh Bear?
Pooh Bear.
So real quality named after great work cues. I'm loving it.
I can't wait to meet some of these guys. I really appreciate y'all. So from first time out into our milestones, all right, our big century marks for BDs attended and attained. At the century mark, we've got Buff. Way to go, sir, out there with the Rebel gents, coming back after a bit of a hiatus, but hitting number 100. Congrats. Big milestone. At 200, doubling it up, we got Bluey.
I feel like we just announced Bluey's 100.
This guy is just, he's got 2 days, and he hits his 1-year F3 anniversary. And he's hit his 200th beatdown before he hits his 1 year
Dang.
In the gloom. So
well done, sir.
Way to go. For our Spartan number, our 300, we got two gents. We got Cortana and Chubbs. I'm looking at a brick that I've got for Cortana and Chubbs. You just crossed the line, so I got to get yours put together here in a minute to reward you gentlemen and kind of commemorate hitting that 300. I think that's a really significant mark. This can't be a passing thing if you're putting in that many beatdowns in the early morning. So way to commit, guys. And we still got guys hitting milestones past that. At 400, I've got Telecaster out there on the west side of town. Well done, sir.
Heck yeah,
I know you put in a ton of time sustaining and maintaining those AOs out there in Canyon County. So my hat's off to you, sir. Well done on the 400.
Does your beard grow an extra inch for every 100 beatdowns?
It may just.
Yeah, maybe it gets an extra foot on it.
And then at the half millennia club, man, we're going to hear from here in just a little bit. Our own gas man just cleared 500 beatdowns. He started in F3 just exactly 2 weeks before me.
Dang.
So 500 beatdowns, gas man. Congratulations.
Remember when I first started coming F3 out there at the gym, gas man was probably one of the most welcoming individuals out there.
Yeah, he's nobody does it like him.
Yeah.
And so from one former AOQ of the gym to a second former AOQ of the gym, we've got Sheets clearing 500 beatdowns this last week as well. So some things on our man Sheets. Not only did he clear 500 beatdowns this month, he cleared 100 cues. And he is now at 105 cues. And at 5.68 beatdowns per week on average, the man's numbers are going up and up and up.
How many times has he held the belt? Actually, I think the more interesting number is how many times has he had to relinquish the belt?
He just needs his name on that thing at this point. So, congratulations, guys, hitting those round numbers and those milestones. And for everybody else out there, look where you're at on that leaderboard, man. Just put those beatdowns in. Put in the work. All right? That recognition and those numbers, it's that way of us acknowledging the work that you put in and the miles and the effort that you've shown. So congratulations and thank you.
Another interesting stat we have stumbled upon here, and this is going to have to become another stat deep dive. Beatdown for AOs. So Bleach just cleared 400 total beatdowns being held at that location. That's incredible.
That is awesome.
Bleach, what, you guys meet how many times a week?
Three.
Three times a week. So you guys.
Monday, Wednesday, Saturday.
Man, so how many years does that take to get to three beatdowns? So like, you know, so 400 divided by three.
I mean, it's sure.
133 weeks. 2.5 years.
I have been around F3 just marginally longer than Bleach has. Oh, so
wow. That's awesome. Well done, Bleach. I know I've been out to Bleach a number of times. The car wash, the prickly grass.
No car washes this year. None of the sprinklers were going. So that might be a tradition that we'll have to see what they do next spring. But so next week, we just kind of found that button and we found it interesting that we discovered that just before we hit record. So maybe next week we'll get a full leaderboard up and we'll let you guys know where your favorite AO fits into the leaderboard of beatdowns held.
Now, speaking of our favorite AOs, Tower is a personal favorite of mine. Now, Tower is also known for getting brutally cold, windy, and a ton of snow during the winter.
Yes, sir.
So let's talk a little bit about held outdoors, rain or shine.
Hey, that sounds like one of our core principles.
You don't say.
So I am a big proponent of the question, why? Like, if you want to give me a statement, you want to say that this is true or this is good or this is something you need to strive for, my next question is always going to be, why? So why is it important that F3 workouts are held outdoors, rain or shine? Now, first, it helps to serve our second principle, which is free of charge. If we go inside, we're paying rent to somebody, right? And, you know, it's another barrier to entry. And we're removing as many of those things as we can for as many men as possible. But why rain or shine? Why not have rainy day recess? Why not call it once it goes below freezing? Why not call it when the roads get icy and things get tough?
Make stronger men.
Make stronger men. You mentioned it already once with your assessment. 3S, 2T. And what does that stand for, Doodle?
Strength, speed, stamina,
mm-hmm.
mental toughness, and physical toughness.
Lolly. So let's talk about those 2 T's. Mental and physical toughness. Now, you think being out there in 28 degrees in the wind and the snow makes you just that little bit more mental and physically tough?
I much prefer more out than that 5 degrees, and you got 8 packs out there, and you got more packs than you have degrees, and those are honestly some of my most memorable beatdowns, because they were not fun. They were not easy. I'll never forget being out there with Charger, and my beard was absolutely frozen afterwards, and he had a dog sled out there. We were running through the ice and snow, and we did a bunch of There was a bunch of sandbags involved. We took a boy band after that, and that is when my background pictures work. And every time that pops up on there, people always ask, why would you do that? And look at it, I was like, because it was hard. And that mm-hmm. was, and that made it fun. Because I was there with, you see those men in that picture? There's 10 other dudes out there who were also said, I want to do something hard.
Yeah. There's a kind of, it's a motivational poster, and one of the lines from it that I've seen, it's a small poem called I Choose. And one of the lines in it is, I will continue to do the things that you won't, so I may continue to do the things that you can't.
That's good.
So it's about that preparation, right? Nobody wants to get out of their nice warm bed at 4:30 in the morning, knowing that a foot of snow fell and you're going to have to trudge, take twice as long as you normally commute out to the beatdown, and then you're going to have to roll in some snow and get cold. And then you're going to sweat. And then you're going to be colder.
Your beard's going to freeze.
And your beard's going to freeze. And your hands are going to hurt.
All right, so how do we prep for the winter?
So I think there's a lot of things to consider within that, and because we fulfill different roles, right? First, there's just, how do I support myself, and how do I make sure that I'm ready for this weather? Now, I personally, I consider it anathema to wear long pants at anything above the temperature of 25 degrees. All right, I wear shorts and long socks. But if you're a little tender and the cold gets to your, you know, your little niblets, wear the long johns, guys. Put on those layers, okay? So have those things ready and prepared. If it's going to be cold, have the layers. That way you're ready to get warmed up. And if you need to shed a couple layers as the beatdown goes on, great, do that. But be prepared and have those things set aside and be ready. That way, that's one mental hurdle that you can overcome. It's going to be cold. Well, I'm going to dress for that. Cool. Argument solved. You know, reason to not attend beatdown thrown in trash.
Gloves. Insulated gloves. Leather gloves if you can.
Something that isn't going to soak through.
Yep.
All right. So the jersey gloves that you can get through for the summer to help, you know, protect your nice hands from your coupon during the summer or the pavement. That's not what you're looking for. You need something that's going to keep your hands dry and warm. So the mechanics wear gloves that Costco is always selling every year. Those are classic. There's a reason that they become kind of an unofficial F3 uniform throughout the winter. So if you don't have them, get them.
How do we put 4 FNGs out there?
So it's really odd to me, and it strikes me every single year that wintertime our numbers actually seem to rise.
Yeah.
Especially versus the summertime. Everybody's out and about and has their own things going on during the summer. You take vacations and you move away. But wintertime, we're all here. And we need those things to keep us going and keep us moving and keep us accelerating, you know, physically, mentally, and in our fellowship through the winter. And guys, find that out here at F3 and through these beatdowns. I myself, my first beatdown was Christmas Eve. It was cold, brutal cold that day. And I still came out, and I still had a great time, and I still came back. So don't let the fact that there's inclement weather kind of prevent you from putting that guy in the emotional headlock to come out. These are not barriers for men who need what we have to give. And it's one more thing to let them know, hey, this is going to be hard. And that is the point. There's a reason we work out at 0515. Create a barrier to make it difficult, to make it an active choice. And the weather is going to be part of that too. So to help guys deal with that, one of the things, don't sugarcoat it.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be cold. Yeah.
We know.
and you're going to deal with it. And I guarantee you 10 minutes into the beatdown, you're not going to notice anymore.
Yep. And I think those gloves come in two packs, don't they?
They do.
Keep an extra pair of gloves in your car. You never know when the FMG is going to roll out there and come out ill prepared. I think if we can show a little bit of love and you have an extra pair of gloves hanging out in the car, maybe it's your pair that you keep on hand just in case your other pair gets soaked through for the beat down the next day. Show some love through our FMGs out there. If you know how to prep, looking at you guys who have your 300 beat downs, 200 beat downs, 400, 500 beat downs, you've been through some winters. Let's help prep some of our newer folks out there who are going to come out. Those who may have moved from warm climates out to Idaho. Let's make sure that they are having a safe experience out in the gloom. And that falls on the queue a little bit.
There we go. That's exactly. Thank you. That's a professional transition. You put the ball on the tee for me. So the next consideration and then that next role that we serve is as the Q and as leaders at our beatdowns. So we need to make sure that when we are the Q that we understand what the conditions are. If it's icy, I need to make people aware of that. If it is excessively icy and dangerous, I need to be flexible. If I show up and part of my plan was to do step ups on picnic tables, but they're ice encrusted and everybody is going to lose teeth if we start doing step ups. I need to be flexible enough and have that knowledge and do something different and call the audible, right? I need to be tracking people. Who's struggling in this weather? Is somebody getting too cold? All right. There's embracing the suck, and then there's putting somebody in a dangerous situation that you're going to hurt them in. So that's our job as Qs. And I know that, when you have a group of guys who have a lot of experience and you have, a crew of old hands, you have to worry less about it. But it's still something you have to keep in your mind. That dude might struggle today. He might turn an ankle, right? The conditions might not be what you thought they were, and you need to compensate for that. If we have FNGs out that don't understand the things that they need to be prepared for, we need to be looking out for them, and we need to understand where that guy is, what's going on with him, and how we can keep him safe, keep him engaged, and keep him coming back. Remember,
Can't come back if he's hurt.
it is your job to physically challenge and to sometimes crush, right, the packs, but only to the point. All right, to the point that they can recover from that rebound and come back again. We're not crushing guys to make sure that they never come back or to prove how tough we are.
One of my personal favorites, dancing on tables. A lot of times those tables are nice and cleared for us. Do a little Mary on the tabletops. Get dudes out of the snow. If you just made them do snow angels in the outfield, one of my other personal favorites, get them out of the snow for a little bit. If guys are getting a little bit wet, and be smart, be safe, be challenging. Know when your packs are complaining because it's cold, and they're going to complain because that's what we do sometimes when we get cold, and know when that is a legitimate complaint, and we need to do something to mitigate and change.
And potentially controversial opinion, but I see no issue with taking a beat down and putting it undercover.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of the parks that we're at, we have amphitheaters, we have pavilions with tabletops. There are ways to get out of the wet, to get more out of what we're putting, more out of our time out in the gloom. So do you have other things that you have consideration tips and tricks that get you through these winter months and get guys coming out? If you do, start sharing it. Put it in the First F channel. How do we cope with the cold? How do we keep those ratios of packs to degrees in the positive?
Great. So, speaking of season changes, I also want to talk a little bit about Nantana Nation just put out an email. If you have not had a chance to read it, go take a look at it. As many of you might have seen, Bricks has been putting in also in our Slack channel. F3 does their annual Accelerate campaign that is on hold right now. Go take a look at the Nantan, the Nation, Dark Helmet's email about that and his statement on that. Bricks also put that in Slack. Basically, coming into the season with all the hurricanes that have happened out east, recognizing that there are packs who are in need, and there are ways to give and donate and help those packs out there. And Nantan felt that we were, by continuing to push the Accelerate campaign, we were maybe taking away from being able to focus on some of our brothers down in the southeast regions there. And I thought that was really applicable to our area as well. As we come into the Thanksgiving season, the Christmas seasons, it's a time where people get financially stretched. There's going to be a plethora of volunteer opportunities out there for us to go engage in. And all of them, I'll say most of them, are excellent and worthwhile opportunities to go out and pursue. And I would not discourage anybody from going out and finding their thing. But I would say, find your thing. Find what you find, what you believe you can inflict the most, what's the word I'm looking for here? The most positive impact. You know, if you are a subscriber to Q-Source, you know, your dolphin, your daffodil, right? You need to find, don't feel like you have to stretch yourself so thin that you are half-assing everything. Find something to whole ass.
Full ass.
Full ass it. So with that, I'd say we've got a lot of things coming up here in both in High Desert and the Settlers region as a Treasure Valley and F3 Boise. Find those things that you are going to dive into and dig in and dig in deep. Free to lead, embrace that and bring that along. And if other packs have their calling, they're going to go pursue, support them in that. But you don't know, but know that you don't have to do everything.
Yeah.
Right. There's a point where it becomes detrimental and you burn out folks. And so I want to take the opportunity now to welcome our first ever guest on this podcast, a man who has found a cause that he wants to dig into. He took the opportunity to lead our region in an incredible effort to raise money and awareness. And so with that, we're going to welcome.
All right. Nate Steenblick. 44, gas man. I forgot the order. It's different.
I remember my first name around
there. Thanks for having me, guys. So yeah, now the FNG here.
There we go. And we appreciate you coming in. So what we got is we wanted to bring in gas man and just kind of introduce and give a summary of the miles that everybody put in for the Idaho Anti-Human Trafficking Coalition. So gas man, you did a great job. So first, thank you. Congratulations for launching this. Just a local initiative. I know you want to touch on just the history of what we're doing here, why we went away from doing the covering house out of St. Louis, and kind of give us a rundown of what it is. So I'm gonna turn it over to you. What you got for us, man?
It's awesome to look back at our first annual. Thinking back, this was actually like the third year we did it, but the first 2 years we were just supporting the covering house out of St. Louis, which I think Wooderson helped us just connect that first time. Kind of said, hey, this is going on. It's a great cause. And so we were like, sure, heck yeah, let's do it. And so, you know, maybe like 30 of us that first year and second year, we just kind of killed it.
Moving rocks, putting them in buckets, double down, triple down.
Bucket of rocks. We were out there doing triple downs and double downs and just piling the miles. And so it got the attention of certainly the St. Louis guys are like, dang, these guys are in Boise here are crushing it. So, you know, Lube out there, he was given a grant because of just the amazing job they're doing. And so they got this $10,000 grant to Starfish out and use it however they wanted. So this year, it was just awesome to see 32 other cities doing the same thing, same model, finding local organizations. And so, you know, that's how it started. And Cortana, myself, and Huckleberry went down, met with Kevin down at the Idaho Anti-Trafficking Coalition, and it just felt like we could support what they are doing, which is a smaller kind of grassroots effort, trying to do prevention and education, you know, to prevent as much as they can, but also direct victim care. They're helping these victims, and you've got case managers and 24/7 hotline, and sitting down with him for a few minutes will open your eyes and see, you know, what it looks like here locally, and not what you see in the movies, not just in big cities, but man, seeing it right here in our communities, and it's eye-opening. So, you know, that just lit up that fire and said, okay, we got to do this. And so we set some lofty goals. We went right after it in true F3 Boise style to say, well, hey, everyone else is setting a goal for 10,000 miles. Shoot, we're going to do 12. So,
what's we get?
We got 3,700, which is still, you know, way more than we got the last 2 years. And, you know, we had over 120 participants. So, however we want to gauge the success, it's different. Yeah, we didn't hit 12,000 miles. But, man, we raised, like, close to $8,500. Logged 3,700 miles. I look at all the teams outside of F3 we created. you know, we had about 70 guys, 70 packs sign up, but then the rest were coworkers, family, neighbors, and looking at like 8,000 page views, I think that's where you see the conversations happening and kind of those goals we had to just invite people into those conversations. And, you know, we've got already big plans for next year, but as far as this year, man, the guys showed up. It was inspiring. Yeah, we had that the bucket, Freighter's bucket going, but first shout out Flea Fly, man. You think he should look into doing some fundraising.
He might be good at it.
Like in a day, just like there's $1,500 and so the raffle was all but his, and he ended up with that bottle of bourbon. But yeah, shout out to Flea Fly. His miles on the results show up as well. I think there's about 80 rookie miles of Rampages in there, and a bunch from Tater and his friends that got thrown in there. But it's all good. But HIPAA was our overall leader, 175 miles in 1 week. Just getting after it, biking. We had about 10 guys over 100 miles. Raw, Noid, Cabbage. I think Robin had 50. Just walking alone and toppled 100 prints, hit that century mark. And then, you know, I know Rocket Man was our lead runner, like with 57 miles, had a couple others right behind him. His girls won the 2.0, you know, less than 18 female category.
There we go.
little, what do you call them? Rockettes? The Rockettes.
That's the first time I've heard that. That's
are they all trying to I'm sure they have actual F3 names. They've been out to different things, but cool to see a lot of 2.0s getting after that. 2.0 team showed up. The M's team, we had an F3 M's team. So, you know, seeing our M's get involved and hopefully out on walks together, you know, on a bike ride together, spending that time together with M's 2.0s. Having conversations with them, you know, the why behind it is the biggest thing. Why we're out there doing miles. But, yeah, it was awesome seeing guys show up. We had Sandtrap put together a St. Luke's team that had over 200 miles. You know, overall, Mel Allison had close to 70 miles. So, you know, that's that next step. Seeing fewer guys sign up with F3 teams and more with maybe corporate teams, family teams, neighborhood teams. We saw a couple of those. So it's just getting started. Like, I just see good things continuing 2025.
Not bad. Sure. Not bad for year one there, Q.
Yes, sir.
But I mean, hearing all the things that you're talking about here, I think it's good that we refer back to our mission, right? Plant, grow, and serve small workout groups for men for the invigoration of male community leadership. Leadership, guys. Look at what the idea of, so one group coming together, going in a common goal, led by the vision of one man into his own community. Now we got all these names that you're talking about, Lube from St. Louis, and then Waters, Freighter, all these, Noid, Rampage. Look at all of these men putting in the work that none of it would have happened without a unifying vision, without the ability to articulate it. The persuasion to engage, right? And that's what you've done, Gas Man. And I'm just proud to be sitting across the table from you, and you know, and just kind of uplifting and pointing out what you've done here. This is amazing. 3,700 miles, $8,000, 120 plus, and this is just beginning.
Yeah, it's great to look at all the pieces that were part of it. When I look back and see the guys that were helping with the tech, you know, Escobar helping with the t-shirt. I mean, I don't want to leave anyone out. You guys know who I texted and had conversations with, like, hey, what do you think? You know, Bluey right up front, getting his perspective, and Huckleberry with his, you know, just tons of experience with putting on events. And so there's so much love to spread seeing this come together, but it definitely started with Lube and his vision of, like, man, if not me, then who?
That's like, right.
I want to do something. I hear all these great things other people do, and it's inspiring, but man, at the end of the day, it's like, what can I do? And we saw that with guys, you know, whether it was just 5 miles or 50 miles, but just having conversations, getting after it. Cortana, you know, he and I just sitting down right at the beginning, like, how can we not answer this call? Like, we have this opportunity. Like, what kind of, how can we sleep at night knowing, like, man, we had this opportunity to put this event on. And so it was great. And credit to the Idaho Anti-Trafficking Coalition. I mean, I talked to Kevin earlier this week, and we'd love to have him on here. He would have loved to come and just share his gratitude to you men out there for putting in the work, keeping them in mind. And they're the ones with boots on the ground fighting this every single day. And I think a lot of us were tired. I mean, we came off of CSOP right after IPC. Like, we were tired. And you still saw guys just getting after it. And I think when you put those victims at the forefront of your mind, it's easy to say, man, this is easy. I can go put a few miles in and talk to somebody like, hey, do you want to support what they're doing? That's easy. But, you know, so it's an easy cause to get behind. We're pumped to think about next year, but we learned a lot too. I mean, there's a lot of things I would have, you know, maybe done differently and kept in mind as far as, you know, helping delegate and using guys. And so that invitation is on the table for sure. If you had a moment where you want to just, you know, continue to support this organization, I mean, they have needs year round and can volunteer down there and have clothing, food drives, whatever, you know, they need. So we want to keep that going. Like you said, I mean, this event, it hits all three Fs.
Oh yeah.
Like head on. I mean, as far as the fitness, that's easy. You saw the fellowship out on rides, putting rocks in buckets. I mean, that part comes in the third F, I mean, especially about making an impact in the community. So anytime it hits all three Fs, checks those boxes, it's exciting. You see that, you know, just kind of momentum grow and get guys excited. So, yeah, man, I had a lot of questions, I guess, throughout the week. And I think that was, cool seeing guys kind of catch on, like, oh, hey, can I invite others to do this? You know, it's like, yeah. Oh, hey, can I talk to my boss and, you know, get a corporate sponsor or this or that? And so it's like, I think we can all see, like, there's still so much out there.
If we could preload some of this stuff,
preload that next year, get some of these running and biking stores involved to, you know, get them sponsoring some of these corporate matches ahead of time. So now that we have one under our belt, you're looking back, hey, we did this in year one. This is the impact. And nationally, I mean, we raised like $340,000, I think, you know, 77,000 miles. There's over 3,000 participants. So, you know, seeing that branch out, those are all going to grow too. And so, you know, it's an issue that's not going away. And, yeah, just super proud of our group of men for stepping up. And those shirts should be coming. I know a lot of you ordered those shirts. And our boy, Russet, he's got those press-on logos to go on the sleeves to match your mileage, whatever you got, 25, 50, 75.
Oh, that's cool.
That's cool.
It'll be a nice personal touch. So
that's cool.
Shout out to him. But
I think it's cool. It's interesting to mention that guy's asking you, is it all right if we do this? Is it all right if we open this up? And my reminder would be like, free to leave, right?
Yeah. I got a book for you, son.
I think we live in a society where we are asked to ask permission way too much sometimes. I think it's always good to check in with the people. It's like, hey, I got an idea. Let's run with this. Even if it's within the framework of, hey, we're doing this. We need to get 12,000 miles. Any ideas how to get there? And then reminding people, part of our mission is being leaders in our community. So get community involvement and getting outside of F3 is probably one of the most important pieces that you were able to incorporate into this event, is that we are getting involved in the community and getting the community involved with us as well.
And I think as we grow as an organization here in this valley, guys, you need to be thinking about it that this isn't just a workout. This isn't something that happens at, you know, 0515 to 0600. It's not just the workout. And I know taking this step out into the community and kind of exposing what F3 is to an outside audience, there's going to be some fear. There's going to be some apprehension about it. And I get that. Some people are going to look at what we do and they're just going to shake their heads. I don't get it. But if we can show people the causes that we're getting behind, the kind of men that come out here to F3 and put that circle on our chest, you know, I want my girls to grow up in a world in this valley where if they needed help and they saw somebody wearing an F3 shirt, they know that dude's solid and they can go to that guy no matter what. And this is one of the things that's going to put that out there for us, because we're going to do good work and we're going to be good men and we're going to be leaders in our community. Hi.
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 Well, we are a competitive group. I will not deny that. I think a little healthy competition is good.
This is not my competitive arena, but yes, I agree.
High Desert Settlers, how do we shake out there?
All right, yeah, how do you want to, you know, you can look at it a few different ways, I guess, but the first goal we had was, all right, first region to hit 40 signups, which it was a runaway with Settlers. They hit that pretty quick, and so I got to hold the leadership accountable. Like, they may not know that they signed up for this punishment, but there was the hardest mile, or however you want to call it, the killer B mile is how I call it, but there was something involved, like, the opposing region leadership would be held to that accountability of, they got to do this mile.
Oof.
Which,
describe the mile. What is this mile?
Well, the killer B one, it involves burpee, broad jump, you know, like walking lunge, bear crawl, all types of just horrific ways to get around each 400. So, you know, we didn't want to do that during the mileage challenge, knowing that would be about a 1 hour mile pace. So, which, yeah, I think talking about that, I think Huckleberry was the time leader when I looked back at him, like 37 hours. I swear, unless he put that in minutes.
Yeah, I don't think
so. That was a leisurely pace. I'm just messing with you, but yeah, so that's the first part of seeing the sign up. So that was definitely it.
So High Desert Leadership owes you a
they owe everybody.
Death mile.
Yes, sir.
Well, tell me when.
And then mileage, I think Settlers did get a few more miles there. I want to say 1,500, yep, to 1,300. So it was close. It was close, certainly. But then, I mean, per person, I guess you can break that down. High Desert probably had a few more miles per person, if you want to cut it that way. But, you know, it was great. I don't know the numbers for the fundraising as far as regions, because that was just all one big. Mm-hmm. I guess it's probably close to, say, Flea Fly and High Desert. Probably.
That's a major competitive advantage.
But it's cool. Yeah. So, yeah, I think Retina ran 100 miles by himself one of the years, and they were just like, wait.
Yeah, what?
you had an extra zero there? And
not don't worry about it.
So, you know, we'd love to have some swag to give away to some of the top performers, and that's, again, in the works for next year, and just recognizing some of those things. This year, all the money was just going towards the cause, which is, you know, T-shirts, medals. A lot of people sign up for those things in a race to do that, and I'm like, no, this isn't that.
Yeah,
oh, there's no right. Chip timing, no Strava, no
Boston Marathon qualifying. No. What are you even doing? Why are we even doing this?
Exactly, that opens that door. So
you want a medal? It's not for a 5K.
Yeah, it's because it's called anti-human trafficking. That's why we're doing this.
Anyway,
that's exactly what it is. We're not gonna back away from that. This is the thing that we're trying to challenge, and one thing that I would suggest, and I was going to come to you with, is I think next year we need to be a little more forward about it. We need to be a little more up in people's faces. This is why we're doing it. This is the effect. This is going to be the result of the money that we're raising is combating these evils. You know, we can't shy away from these things. We need to look them in the eye.
100%. I think I was in a circle of trust, and Tater was pretty vocal about that. Just said, like, looking at each man in the eye, and like, at a minimum, you need to sign up for this. Like, there's discount codes. It can be free to sign up. Don't let that be a barrier. Like everyone needs to sign up here in this region, and then let's shoot that out and try to get other regions involved, just like we supported St. Louis. Like, who do you know? You know, I think Daft signed up. He was supporting us out in Arizona. We had people in five different states, too, which was cool, you know, from Florida to Arizona, Massachusetts. So it's there, this opportunity. And I do agree, thinking, talking to people about the issue, let that be the conversation about anti-trafficking, slavery in our day, kids, women. And one of the current videos says it best about as men, that sticks out to them so much, seeing men who are usually the ones behind this great evil.
Yeah.
Here we are, men standing up for it, building that trust with some of these women and victims. And so, you know, that's, again, just an opportunity to stand up and do what we know is right to help these victims that are being taken advantage of.
Right on. Well, I know we're coming up against it with the time, and you've got things with the family you got to get to. So if you guys would help us out and listen to the podcast at 2x speed, so we get more time with gas, man, I'd really appreciate it.
You're doing an awesome job. Appreciate you letting me come on. Appreciate just bringing both regions together with this podcast. I think it's awesome.
Dude. So I can't wait to start, you know, supporting the Idaho Anti-Human Trafficking Coalition throughout this year and then next year with the next event. So,
yeah,
thank you again, Gasman, for being here. I really appreciate you, man. All right. So, from Hooch, from Doodle, we want to thank Gasman for coming on, providing that interview and that rundown. We want to thank you guys for listening to us. And as always, we hope that that you will find this to be stuff worth sharing. Thank you.